Hallelujah. But I heard several different ministers say this, and I agree with it 100%. One of the most important things we need is a revival of the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. A revival of the Word of God. a brand new hunger for the Word of God. Amen. And I'm not going to minister on that tonight, in that particularly, but I'm going to in the future. Get hungry for the Word of God. Why would God move in a mighty way and His people are empty? They're not ready for it. If someone tells you, I'm coming to your house in 2 weeks, and I'm going to have 2 truckloads of food for you, what do you think you need to be doing while in 2 weeks? You need to get ready. You need to make some space for some things. Some stuff that's no good, that's not beneficial, you need to throw it away. Get rid of it. So that you are ready to receive the good food when it arrives. Amen. We need to get that stuff out of our life that's not effective. It's dead. You hear me? It's dead. We need to get that out of our lives and get ready for the fresh, living, powerful Word of God. I want you to take a look at somebody, maybe a person right beside you or close to you, and just let them know that somebody needs you. Tell them this: God is going to send someone your way. If you are ready to receive. He's not going to send anybody to us for us to hurt him. I remember the word that God gave me years ago for this church. But it doesn't apply just to this church. And some of you might remember me saying this. God says, I'm going to send you the baby. Make sure you do not hurt my babies. And I'm not talking about physical babies here. I'm talking about spiritual babies. And that word is still as fresh today as it was the day I gave it many years ago. We must be ready to nourish the babies. Hallelujah. I hope you're listening to me. Hallelujah. I thank God for all the folks that took me under their wings and nourished me when I was a spiritual baby. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we're going back to Psalm 37, but I want to say this to you. And this is just one instance, but I went into the service to the Air Force about a year after I was born again. I was born again in 1969. I went into the service around a year later in 1970. And I was a young Christian. I was a young Christian. I loved God. I was a single person, weren't married yet. And all the guys that I was around at that particular time, the ones in my barracks and the ones that was my roommate, they were wild. And if they're still living, I hope they're born again now. But they were women chasers or girl chasers. They were heavy partiers. Alcohol, you name it. They could get by with it. They sneak a few drugs in. And they did all that wild and crazy stuff. But I knew I was born again and I was serious about my salvation. I was a young Christian, but I was serious about my salvation. And if you can relate to this, maybe you're watching and you say, I'm born again. I don't want to be like the world. You know, I don't want to live like the world. But I have no friends. I have no friends. Well, first of all, let me tell you, Jesus is your friend. Yeah, he is your friend. But in my particular case, there was another young man in my barracks. He was single also. But he loved God. He was born again, spirit-filled. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I knew I was saved. And he was also a minister. He was a preacher from New York. And he took me under his wing. And we fellowshiped together. We read the Bible together. We prayed together. His room was on the same floor as mine, so I'd go down the hall and we'd just have a blessed time, amen. And we would talk about the things of the Lord and how we wanted God to bless us. Both of us were single, so, you know, we talked about our future wives. But neither one of us had girlfriends because girlfriends, well, you know how that goes, especially if you're military. You know, that was kind of dangerous. I'm so glad that, and I'm not bragging on myself, I'm bragging on God. But I'm so glad that I don't have any kids overseas. I thank God for that. Now, if you do, or if someone watching me do, God still loves you. Amen. He still loves you. But my point is, there was so much you could get into that was bad. Guys sneaking women, girls into the barracks. They weren't supposed to be doing that, but they get in there anyway. But I was by myself until God sent this young man into my life. And we fellowshiped together. We went to church together. He'd be invited to preach. And I'd go with him. He'd preach, and then we'd come back to the barracks. And he was my mentor for a long time until he got out of the service and went back to New York. But my life was never the same after that, because he taught me some things. He taught me how to stand. Amen. He taught me how not to succumb to temptations. Amen. He taught me some things from the Word of God, and I just ate them up. Glory to God. So whenever he left the service, guess what? I didn't fall. Amen. And then God led me to some more friends that love God. Hallelujah. I don't know if he's watching tonight from the great state of California, but one friend, and he's one of many that God sent my way, was Bishop Thomas. He's been here before. How many of you remember him coming to one? Yeah, a few of you do. Great friend of mine, great man of God, he and his wife both, and they were our friends. We fellowshiped together, among other friends. We had Bishop Phillips, y'all remember him? He's been here and ministered for us, and there are others. Let me tell you something. God will give you what you need. He'll send the right people into your life if you'll stay faithful and not give up and not quit. Now, I don't know why I'm saying all that, but this one thing I know somebody need to hear, because, you know, you feel like you don't have any friends because you're saved. Stay with God. Don't you walk away. Don't you walk away. God will send somebody in your life. Well, I've been waiting. I need somebody to fellowship with. Where I am right now, you know, you may be in service somewhere, some isolated country, way out in the middle of nowhere. God got you. You stay with him. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word will never, ever return to you void. Thank you that we have your word to stand on, and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen. Amen. Now, last time, we talked about verse 16, and I'm not going to teach on that tonight, but I will read it. It says, "A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked." So, you know, I recommend that you go back a week from today and watch that service, and I believe it would be a blessing to you. Amen. The little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's drop down to verse 18. We've been here, but it's been a while. Listen at what the Word of God says. This is the Word of God to you. Are you listening? The Lord knows the days of the upright. You see that? The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Stop a minute and think. God knows every intricate detail of your life. You listen? God knows everything there is to know about you. Know this, He is watching over you. Hallelujah. We're talking about the upright. Glory to God. He knows. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows all about it. What does He want us to do? Stand. He wants us to stand. Don't quit. Stand. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, having done all to stand, what are you to do? You are to stand because God knows your days. God knows what's going on with you right now. You believe that? Amen. Now, let me say this. God also knows what's coming down the pipe. God knows your tomorrow. God knows your next month. Amen. So God knows the days of the upright, and guess what? Their inheritance shall be forever. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 19. Do you have a 19th verse in your Bible? Psalm 37. They shall, let me stop right there. They, say that's me. They shall not be ashamed. In the evil time, glory to God. I read this in the New Living Translation. I just want to read this to you. It's 19th verse. It said, they will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Now, let me read that to you again. Grab a hold of this. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Amen. And we talked about this last week. Even when you have little, you put God first. Matter of fact, Jesus told us, if we would seek first the kingdom of God, the things of God, the rest of it will be added to you. Glory to God. You still here? God has more than enough to meet our need in any situation. If God fed, listen to this, if God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, if he sent them manna in the wilderness, what will he do for us? Because the Bible tells us, listen to this, the Bible tells us that we have a better covenant established upon what? Better promises. So if God did it for them, he'll do it for me. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You know, sometimes we can get in the natural, and I remember years ago, you know, and I read that, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And I'm just thinking naturally, you follow me here, this is naturally, I was still growing. But I'm thinking to myself, wow, Lord, that's a little risky to put that in there, isn't it? Because all around you, you're hearing people talk about what they don't have. You follow me? This is not working. That's not working. But something else Jesus said more than once, and I like to quote him. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. Now, if you are always talking about the negative all the time and this, that, and this, negative, 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 guess what? That's what you're going to get. If you sow negative seed, you're going to get negative fruit. You're going to reap a negative harvest. But if you sow the seed of the word of God, and if you count him faithful, that promised, God will make sure that you are taken care of, even when it looks hopeless. And that's the reason that the Apostle Paul said, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we walk by faith and not by faith. Sight, because you can look out and if you don't deal with that thing, it can scare you. Oh Lord, how are we going to handle this? What? That, listen to me, that's the reason we must hear the word of God. We must walk it out. We must walk by faith, faith in what he has said. Does that mean things gonna always look good? No. But you still walk by what he said. You put your confidence in what he said. Our Lord laid it out for us. Hold your place there at Psalm 37. We're coming back, but I just want to show you something. We were here the other day, so I'm going to take you back. Go back to Mark chapter 11, please. Mark chapter 11. Well, Pastor, I've been dealing with this a long time. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. Mark chapter 11. We were here the other day or the other evening. And this is what Jesus said. Let's pick it up again at verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, that's Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said, everybody say, Jesus answered and said. Say it again. One more time. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Okay? Verse 23. Listen to what he said. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Now, mountain could be anything, not just a big hill. How many of you have faced situations like a mountain to you? Maybe you're dealing with that right now. Maybe you're dealing with it right now. But Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. But then he added something else in there. And does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It's with faith and patience that we inherit the promises. But we live in such a negative world. But if we're not careful, we'll lose focus. We'll take our eyes off of God's word and what he promised us. Now, I know people have taken that and abused it and misused it. don't be trying to believe God for a $5 million airplane. You don't need one. And if you got it, what you gonna do with it? This word is to take us through life day by day, walking in victory. What mountain are you facing today? Well, I put the word of God on it. Put the word of God on it. Speak the word of God over it. But don't be double-minded. Speak in faith today and doubt tomorrow. Because the word of God, James says it in the book of James, if we do that, you're not going to get anything. Because you're double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It says man, but that includes women too. And you've heard me say this many, many times, and this applies to each and every one of us. God placed us on this earth. How many of you asked God to be born? Let me see your hand. Got you on that one. None of us did. We're here. And we, listen, we're God's idea. Why don't you encourage somebody and tell them, say, you're God's idea. Regardless of what you may think. Now, hear this. Remember, God is all-knowing. He knows our days, right? He knows our days. Therefore, he knows everything, even the plans that the devil has in his little secret room with him and his cohorts. God already knows what's going on. God already knows what's going on. So he knows all the plans of the devil, and he placed us on this earth with a specific purpose in mind to bring glory to him. He imparted to us gifts and talents to be used for his glory, right? And he knew in advance, you listen to me? And he knew in advance that there would be mountains placed in our way to hinder us. Don't climb the rough side of the mountain. In the name of Jesus, commanded to get out of your way by faith. Because by the time you get down to the other side, you're not going to be any good to continue the journey. See, don't misunderstand what Jesus was saying. He was saying, let me read it to you again. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, well, they were talking about the fig tree in the beginning, but it could be anything. They're standing in your way, that's trying to hinder God's plan for your life, trying to steal your finances, trying to steal your health. We have to take a stand. We take a stand. Let me read it again. Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, doubtful thoughts may shoot through your mind. Let them keep traveling. Folks, you know what? If folks says, if somebody walk up to you and say something negative to you, guess what? And you didn't know they were coming, you just kind of caught you off guard. Guess what? You heard that. That went in your ears. But it doesn't have to get in your heart. Just let it keep moving. You listening to me? Just let it keep moving. Well, you know, brother, well, you know, sister, I had a grandma that had the same thing you got. And she died. Oh, she died a painful death. The Lord came and took her out of here. She was screaming in pain, but the Lord needed another flower in his heavenly flower pot. So he came and got her and took her to heaven. And you find yourself thinking, dear Lord, I hope God didn't have any other vacant flower pots up there. Listen, I'm not going to get too much further tonight, but I hope you're with me. We have to learn not to dwell on that stuff. Sometimes, you know, now we have choices about the company we keep, but sometimes things just come at you you're totally not expecting. Don't let that stuff dwell with you. You stay with the Word of God. So Jesus said, we can speak to the mountain, and we don't doubt in our heart, but believe those things he says will be done. What else did Jesus say? Say what?
Have what we say.
Amen. Have what we say. Now, again, this ain't nothing foolish, off the wall, right? This lines up with God's word. Amen. He said that that mountain would be cast into the sea, and you will have a testimony of the goodness of God. You have a testimony of the goodness of God. How many of you know God is good? A mountain is something that if God don't move, it don't get moved. But it is moved by our faith and us commanding that mountain in the name of Jesus to get out of here. Huh, glory be to God. Y'all still here? Well, we've been on Psalm 37 a number of weeks now, plus other scripture references as well. But has this been a blessing to you? Again, let me say this, and we'll continue this next week. Again, remember this, and this, this keeps coming back to me. Remember, nothing catches God by surprise. And God has a plan for your life. Amen. Now, if you're a truck driver, like my brother back there, and your supervisor tell you, I want you to take this trailer load of goods to such and such city, they fully intend for you to take it there. Am I right, brother? God fully intends for us to get to our God-called destination. The devil's plan is to stop you, because he comes to steal, John chapter 10, verse 10, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He hates the plan of God for your life. How many people, and I certainly don't know, live and die and never fulfill or fully fulfill the plan of God for them? Simply because of these little mountains popping up. Popping up. And they don't deal with the mountains. Or they don't know how to deal with the mountains. Hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." I accomplished what my Father sent me to do. The Apostle Paul said, "I kept the faith. I finished my course. I've done my job here on the earth. I'm ready to go." That's what he said. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Paul had lots of mountains in his path, didn't he? He went through a lot, but he finished victoriously. This is his own testimony. I kept the faith. I didn't quit. I'm ready to be offered up. And then he left here. So, don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by what you believe. Be moved by what the Bible says. Become a child of God that walks by the Word of God. All of it. Jesus gave them a promise. That mountain will move if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe. Many times in many miracles that Jesus did in his ministry, what would he tell the people? Only believe. Only believe. But if you're going to only believe, you need to know what to believe. Amen. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Oh, hallelujah.